Red Spurlock's in here in the studio with us. And, well, Red, you asked me to play a song here by your old pal, Red Allen, the two Reds anyway. And we're gonna do this. You want to talk about it first? This is Willow Garden, down on the Willow Garden. You want to tell us about that?
Yes. When Red was with the Osborne Brothers, they used to do that song, and they were so smooth on it. And they used to stop them, and when they was on Wheeling Jamboree, they would stop and pick me up just for laughs. They said they couldn't have any fun unless I went with them. And that was the days before the interstates. And Sonny was driving. They had a Cadillac, and Sonny was driving, and all at once he hit the brakes and turned around and went back. And everybody said, "Hey, what are you turning around for?" He said, "I saw a sign in a bar back there that said bluegrass music, live bluegrass music." He stopped the car and went in. And there was a bluegrass band in there, but they was on a break. He walked up and asked him, he said, "Could we come in and do just one song?" "Why, yes." Of course, they didn't know who they was. So he came back out, and they took their instruments out of the case and went in with just their instruments, walked upon the stage and did Down in the Willow Garden and didn't say one thing. As soon as they got it done, everybody just sat there in awe and watched them. And when they walked off the stage, just walked out the door and got in the car and laughed all the way to Wheeling.
Down in the Willow Garden. Let's hear him do it.
Yeah, didn't say a word, just sang it.
Been 40 years since we tried it.
My name's Tom Duffy with the Midnight Ramble. We'll get it right here, Giles. The Midnight Ramble, all the way to the midnight hour tonight. And special guest in the studio, Mr. Giles Bolin and Red Spurlock here in the studio with us. And Red, that Once More by the Osborne Brothers. You had some information about that.
Yeah, Red relayed this story to me. He said when they went down there to cut that, they cut it at Acuff and Rose. And
this would have been in Nashville?
Yes. So I guess when Roy Acuff heard it, he thought it was such a great song, he wanted to cut it first. So he told Rose, tell them boys not to cut that until, you know, tonight. So he came back to Red and said, we don't think you should cut that once more. Red said, we'll cut once more or we won't cut anything. He said, oh, well, if that's the way you feel about it, we'll go ahead and cut it.
And they did, and they cut it good, didn't they? They did,
yeah,
it good.
Yeah, they cut it good, and then Roy Acuff did follow him.
Did he really? Did he sell any records? Roy Acuff out of it?
I don't know, but the Osmond Brothers was so popular back then.
They made a career out of it, didn't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I used to record the music there in Dayton in 1957 when they was together.
Mm-hmm.
They and WNE in Dayton would mm-hmm. play a rock and roll song. They would play an Elvis Presley song, a Flatten Scruggs song, and the Osmond Brothers and Red Allen song. And that went on all day long. I've got it recorded.
Oh, you recorded it at home?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. I had a radio, a tape recorder right uh-huh. there in the glass shop.
Cool.
See?
Uh-huh.
And I've got all that recorded today. And I, you know, they was as famous as Flatten Scruggs was back then.
Well, tell us about your glass shop. What's that about?
Well, when I got out of the service in 1951, I came to Dayton. And
all right, I'll ask. What brought you to Dayton, Ohio? Do you have family here?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I had a brother and a sister both in Dayton. My mom and dad still lived in Austin, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, if Red goes to Dayton, we're going to go to Dayton too. So I did, and they sold their place there, and they moved to Dayton. And I didn't have any trade at all. I was in the fire department all the time I was in the service. And my brother was in the glass shop in Dayton, working at Dayton Auto Glass.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a job as a cleanup boy, just cleaning the windshields up after they would put them in.
After they're installed. Mm-hmm.
And it didn't take me long until I learned the trade. I was fast. My brother was slow, but he was sure. I was fast and made them money, you see. and they loved me. So after, you know, up until 1956, I worked in those glass shops in Dayton, Main Auto Glass, Williams Auto Glass, and Dayton Auto Glass. And then I finally went out to Fairborn and opened my own shop in 1956.
And how long were you there?
36 years. And when I turned 62 in 1992, I sold it.
And is it still there?
No, they're out of business now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They just recently went out of business.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked for the man off and on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sold it on land contract. Now mm-hmm. I had to make sure that he that he made his payments.
But so you did this for 36 years.
Yes.
And you raised a family during that time.
Oh, yes. I raised eight kids.
Mm-hmm. Eight
in
kids.
That glass shop. Yes, sir. I sure did.
That's great. Well, I imagine the music's been a love of your life, but
yes.
You know, the glass shop paid the bills and raised a family, didn't it?
Yeah, so, I used to tell Red Allen, now, I'll work with you. Because I'm only open 5 days a week, but you have me back to work on Monday morning. And Red said, well, that's no problem because I only work weekends anyhow. So that's what we did.
So you came to Dayton and after you got out of the service. And
yeah.
That was in the early 50s then.
Yeah. Actually, it was in November of 1951. Down on 3rd Street and Wilkinson Street, I saw a fellow walking down the street, and it was Red Allen. Some people just naturally looks like a musician. Well, Red just naturally looked like a musician. He's clean dressed, you know, and hair combed back. And I walked up to him, and I said, excuse me, are you a musician? He said, yeah, I pick a guitar. I said, well, I play a banjo. He said, you do? He said, I've got a fiddle player named Johnny McKee. He said, give me your address, and I'll come over and see if we can get something started. So I gave him my address. I was living with my mom and dad over at 229 Hopeland Street. And Johnny had a car, so they came over and wouldn't come in the house. They had me bring my banjo out to the car, and they auditioned me there in the car to see if I was.
They didn't want to commit, huh?
That's right, to see if I was good enough. Well, they said, okay, there's a bar over here called a Miami Bar on Miami Chapel Road, and they said, we can get a job over there. So we went over there that weekend and played, and we played 2 weekends there, and they was turning people away at the door.
Wow.
The next bar down the street called Angles Bar heard about it, and they paid us more money to come down there. We stayed there about 2 weeks. And again, they was turning them away at the door. There was a Miami bar down at on the corner of Cincinnati and Miami Street. We went down there and worked 2 weeks. And then the Little Mickey's, it was called, what was it called before Little Mickey's?
Circle?
No. anyhow, I had a sister that was a bartender down there. And she got
older than you or younger?
She was younger than me.
Uh-huh, okay.
And she got us a job down there, and then later Little Mickey bought it. We was the first bluegrass band to ever go in a bar in the city of Dayton.
Now, you're saying this is 1951, 52, something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, and mm-hmm. It lasted 18 months. We mm-hmm. worked 18 months, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, mm-hmm. from 9 o'clock at night until 2 in the morning.
What were some of the songs that you'd play at these bars?
Everything that Flat and Scruggs done. Everything at the Stanley's done and Monroe and all of them, you know.
So you were enamored by this music now.
Yes.
You were a young man at this time.
Absolutely.
And so was Red and how
Red,
old were you guys?
Me and Red was the same age. He was 21.
Okay. 21.
Yeah.
And now I'm curious about you were playing some bars, and these are weekend nights?
Yes.
And who are you playing for? Who came to those bars? Were these young couples or people your age?
Everybody that had come up here from Kentucky and West Virginia and Tennessee to work in the General Motors factories, because Little Mickey's was right there on 3rd Street, right where the safety building is now. And, you know, all those houses was just full of people working for General Motors.
Oh, I know it. Yeah.
And they, it was no problem at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I was working there, Jimmy Martin teamed up with the Osborne brothers. And they came up and tried to take our job. Well, you don't take a man's job when they're standing room only, you see. There's no way. And I never will forget, Jimmy Martin stood out on the sidewalk, and Little Mickey was standing there with his hands behind him and looking up at him like that, and Jimmy was braying like a horse. He said, can Red Allen do that?
Well, you were playing bars at that time. Now, was there bluegrass music on the radio at that time, say, in the Dayton area?
Yeah, they had.
And were you playing on the radio?
WONE was uh-huh. playing it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Flat and Scruggs was mm-hmm. real hot back then, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay.
And after a while, you see, Red, the bartender didn't trust anybody but me, because I was the only one in the band that didn't drink, you see. I never could drink.
I trust you too, Red.
but Little Mickey bought us our first PA set, and he set it up, and he told me, he said, now you are responsible for it, and I'm going to take $10 a week out of your pay until wow. it's paid mm-hmm. for, mm-hmm. but you don't take it out, and that's why we kept the job so mm-hmm. long, see.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was you're saying you're playing, say, Flat and Scruggs and Bill Monroe type music.
Yes.
What kind of, was this a three-piece band or four or five or what?
It was a three-piece band until mm-hmm. Frank Wakefield, we ran across him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then he came in.
So it was you and Red band. And Johnny, you say?
Yes.
And so it was Frank Wakefield. It was a fiddle, banjo, and guitar.
Fiddle, banjo, and a guitar.
And then you ran across
until
this
we
other
discovered
young
Frank Wakefield.
Uh-huh.
And he played the mandolin. So that made four-piece. We didn't have a bass back then.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, that's one of the reasons why Red Allen became such a great guitar player.
Mm-hmm. You had to carry the beat.
Yeah, we had no bass.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Frank and I was just learning all those tunes that Earl Scruggs was coming out with, and we played them till, you know, Red say, how long is this show anyhow? or how long is this song?
I'd love to be a fly on the wall with that one.
Yeah, you know, we just play them till no end, you know, because they was brand new to us, you know, just like Evan is today. Mm-hmm. All those old tunes is just brand new to him, you know.
Rhett Spurlock, let's play a song of yours. This is you and your wife, Joyce, on a cut, Peace on Earth Begins Today. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a religious song. And, you know, I've got a CB radio in my Cadillac, you know, but I never use it. I just listen. And I was driving up on Route 75 one day, and I was just listening to the truckers talking. And these two truckers got to really cussing each other, you know. One of them said, well, listen, I'm going to pull off up here at exit 88 at Cargill. Let's just pull off there and settle it. And the one said, well, you better bring a doctor with you because they're going to have to haul you away in an ambulance. He said, no, you bring a coroner with you because they're going to carry you away, you know. And they was just arguing, and all those truckers were saying, hey, everybody pull off at exit 88. We're going to see a good fight. And I listened to that, and I just picked up. I had just started singing that song. I picked up the microphone in a great, deep voice. I said, peace on earth begins today. And it was absolute silence for at least 30 seconds. Some woman trucker came on and said, hey, where? This was on Good Friday. Said, where are you going to church that Sunday? and the conversation turned to Easter Sunday, and I never heard another word about the fight at Exit 88.
Wow, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Let's hear Red and Joyce Spurlock, Peace on Earth Begins Today.
I used to have a CB radio in my car, but I never did like to use it. I just liked to listen to it in case there was an accident up ahead or something. But this one particular day, I was up on 75, up about the 100-mile marker, and this was on Good Friday. And I heard these two truck drivers get to arguing on the CB radio. One of them said, well, I'm going down here to Cargill, exit 88. Said, if you'll just follow me down there, we'll get down there and settle it. He said, the only thing is you better bring a doctor with you because you're not going to be able to walk away. And the other guy said, well, you better bring an undertaker with you because you're certainly not going to walk away. They're going to have to carry you away. So all these other truck drivers got in on the conversation, and everybody said, hey, everybody pull off on exit 88. We're going to see a good fight down there. I got on the CB radio. I had just learned a song called Peace on Earth Begins Today. And then a real coarse voice, I just said, Peace on Earth Begins Today. And it was absolute silent for a full minute. And the next thing I heard was this woman truck driver said, hey, Tom, where are you going to church that Sunday? And the conversation switched completely from exit 88 and Cargill to who's going to church on Sunday. Here is the song that I learned called Peace on Earth Begins Today. Last night I had a dream so real about a blood-drenched battlefield with weapons aimed and set to kill a perfect stranger on the hill. Then something made me hesitate. A a voice I thought I heard say, wait. And there before me stood a man, snow white robe and outstretched hand. Lay down your weapons of the war, you will not need them anymore. Bow down instead your heads and pray. Peace on earth begins today. I saw the man I nearly killed throw down his weapon on the hill, uplifted hands above his head. Walked toward me and he said, we are no longer enemies. From hate and greed we now are free. I knew that this and more was true. I heard and saw the same thing too. Like long-lost brothers, then we cried while climbing down the mountainside. And there upon the meadow green, we saw what eyes had never seen. For all the leaders of the land were gathered there in a shaking hand, and in their midst a stranger strode, nail-pierced hands and snow-white robe. Lay down your weapons of the war, you will not need them anymore. Bow down instead your heads and pray. Peace on earth begins today. Oh, peace on earth begins today.
We don't care what your mama don't allow, gonna play her music anyhow. Mama don't allow no music played around here. Now mama don't allow no guitar playing in here. Mama don't allow no guitar playing in here. Heaven don't care what your mama don't allow, gonna play his guitar anyhow. Mama don't allow no guitar playing in here. Music played around here. Mama don't allow no music played around here. We don't care what your mama don't allow, gonna play her music anyhow. Mama don't allow no music played around here. Now mama don't allow no banjo playing in here. Mama don't allow no banjo playing in here. Heaven don't care what your mama don't allow, gonna play his banjo anyhow. Mama don't allow no banjo playing in here. Played around here. Mama don't allow no music played around here. We don't care what your mama don't allow, gonna play her music anyhow. Mama don't allow no music played around here. Now mama don't allow no bass playing in here. Mama don't allow no bass playing in here. Heaven don't care what your mama don't allow. Gonna play bass anyhow. Mama don't allow no bass playing in here. Mama don't allow no music played around here. We don't care what your mama allowed. Gonna play her music anyhow. Mama don't allow no music played around here. Now mama don't allow no mandolin playing in here. Mama don't allow no mandolin playing in here. Heaven don't care what your mama allowed. Gonna play his mandolin anyhow. Mama don't allow no mandolin playing in here. Mama don't allow no music played around here. Mama don't allow no music played around here. We don't care what your mama don't allow. Gonna play her music anyhow. Mama don't allow no music played around here.
Listening to the Midnight Ramble here on WYSO. Thanks for tuning in. Should tell you that you're listening to member supported 91.3 WYSO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, broadcasting in HD and online at WYSO.org. WYSO is a broadcast service of Antioch University for the Miami Valley. We play it the old time way on the Midnight Ramble every Saturday night from 9 until midnight. And a special guest in the studio tonight with us is Mr. Red Spurlock, longtime bluegrass performer in the Dayton area. We've been talking about his experience of both learning up, growing up with the music, and really a pioneer, as he said, the first one to play bluegrass music here in the Dayton area with the great Red Allen. And we mentioned Frank Wakefield as well. Red, that was... A young man that you're playing with, tell us about that last CD that we just heard.
Oh, Evan Lanier, one talented young man.
How old is Evan now? Do you know?
He's 12.
He's 12. So that most of that music on that last cut, Mama Don't Allow.
Yes.
That was that young Evan Lanier, 12 years old.
Yeah, we cut that just about a month ago.
That's great. Well, wonderful. Yeah.
You know, the first time I met him, you see, his grandpa teaches guitar down at St. Clair College, and I teach banjo. And Bob Hamlin teaches mandolin, and Carl Phillips teaches fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an ensemble after we teach for an hour. And he brought Evan with him, Noel did, and introduced him to me. And he shook my hand, but he wouldn't smile. I pulled out a dollar and I said, "Show me your teeth and you can have this." He said, "I'll do it for five." I said, "No, you'll do it for one or you won't get it." So he smiled at me. Now, that's the first time he spoke to me. About 4 months later, he came to me. Now, I joined his band right then. About 4 months later, he came to me and he said, "How old are you?" I was 76 at the time. I said, "How old are you?" He said, "I'm 9.
Wow.
And so help me, that's the last word the boys ever spoke to me. How he's managed to not speak to me is beyond me. but I guess he saw that we could make a show out of it, you see, because over in Indiana, a little girl about his age came running up to me after we got off the stage, and she said, "Red, I just had a talk with Evan, and he told me that was an act that you had between him and you." That's how smart the little fella is.
Good music. Good music as well.
Oh,
Mama,
yes.
Don't Allow.
You show him how to do something one time, and he picks it up just like that.
Giles Boland, you're in the studio with us here now. Now, you and I have known each other for a long time. I have my decades wrong. It's only been 35 years since we met, Giles Boland. And you're also partial to this music.
Well, we got an organization there in Dayton, Tom, Well, first of all, thank you for bringing us up here, me and Red, for getting us to come up. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you.
And I wanted Red to share some of that Red Allen's music, because Red was from the same place I was down in Kentucky, Red Allen. And I am the president of an organization called the OKI, that's the Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana Bluegrass Association, and we have good times with it. That's all I do in there is have, if I can't have a good time with something, have fun, I won't do it.
And I'll just say there bluegrass music would be something quite different in Dayton, Ohio without Giles Bowling, without the OKI.
I'm
probably
glad.
The foremost promoter of bluegrass for the last probably 30 years. Now, OKI has been going on how long? It's been that long, hasn't it?
It started in 81.
Mm-hmm. Well, close to it then. Close to 30 years.
And Bob Hammond, he plays with Red there on that CD. He was one of the founders of it. It started it over in a little tavern there in Dayton called Frank's Tavern. A bunch of them got together, and they went through, they formed up a group. They got them a president and a board, you know, and we've had several presidents, probably 10 or 15 of them. A couple of John King used to work here.
Right.
He
mm-hmm.
was one.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny,
how long you been president?
I've been the president since 98.
Mm-hmm.
Dottie Sleet was the president. She passed away, so she put me in charge before she passed away, mm-hmm. you know, and I was the president just maybe 6 months or a year or so before she passed away. But I knew every one of them on down, and Bernie Phelan, he was the president. He was, I think, the second one that the organization had, and he was only. Yeah, he was the second one they had, as far as back as I can remember. I can sit down and think about it and tell you all of them, and how long and when they were in. But it's a good organization, and the people in it. I appreciate the people that's in it.
And really, as I've pointed out, it's kept bluegrass music alive. You're currently, you produce shows?
Corn Drinkers and the Hot Mud Family.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm going to choose it on them. They, whenever I'd go down to the Art Center and you guys were down there and you taught me something on the banjo and said, we got a problem. And I said,
I remember when Giles Bowling was playing the banjo.
And Tom said, we got to start from the bottom and come up. Said, you've been around too many good bands. But now his wife, Linda, bless her, thank her. She did teach me how to play the fiddle. I played one too. I've got the instruments, but I ain't got time to do with them now. I just want to keep
but
my
you're,
band.
But you're
going.
Known now as a promoter in the area.
I help, right.
And tell us about some of the shows that you're involved with.
Okay. I do the OKI. We have a festival over mm-hmm. here the third week of June. Over at the Polish Club Picnic Grounds on Needmore Road. And then I do the Bluegrass at the Mountain Days. That's the third week of August. And I go over and help Wes Wells over in Indiana. I do his MC, and I do Dope Masters up at Painter's Creek. I do his MC up there, help him up there with that. And I just love my bluegrass people, and so far it's working good. We got a good following, and every Friday night I have open bluegrass over there at Merchants Mart. There's a traffic circle. Anybody that plays bluegrass, come mm-hmm. over. Now we had mm-hmm. it last night. Mm-hmm. Clarence Baker and Wanda, they were over,
mm-hmm.
and we had one of the guys that Red was talking about, Sinclair, one of the students that learned how to play. He didn't even know how many strings a mandolin had on it. Now he's a good mm-hmm. mandolin player.
Now, if someone listening wanted to go to that show, now, does that cost money to get in?
Red, over there where I'm at it, it's $3.
Mm-hmm.
$3, and we start at 7, and mm-hmm. we go if we got 4 or 5 bands.
So it's 7 o'clock there at the traffic circle.
That is correct.
Now, what's that place called again?
It's a Merchant's Market Flea
Market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And they got a concession in there, and mm-hmm. nice stage. It's a nice big mm-hmm. building.
I think Red Spurlock's been known to go there.
Red is, he's the main,
he's the main man.
Bob Hammond's the main man, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And we have good times.
So if we have some listeners out there who want to see some Red Spurlock music, that'd be
right.
a good place to go.
And bring their instruments over. There was mm-hmm. two guys come over last night. They heard about it, And then they come over, and I talked to them about it, and they said, next time we come, we're going to bring our instruments, and we'll play. I said, that's what we want.
That's what it's all about, isn't it?
That's correct. And I am a strong believer in teaching the kids bluegrass music. And Red and Bob Hammond and the guys over at Sinclair, they do a marvelous job. And then every year at my festival at Needmore on at the,
right,
Polish Club. I get them to play Supper Break. He brings his students, Bob brings his, and then the stage won't hold them. We got to line them up out here. What, we got 55 or 60?
And 7 years we've been doing that.
7 years.
And there's a lot of people that didn't even know, like I said, didn't even know how many strings an instrument's got 3 years ago. But now, between them four, these teachers, these guys are playing music. And I think that's marvelous.
It is.
Yeah. And Bart Campbell, I was raised up with him down in Kentucky. I know him. I would never said that man would never learn how to play a mandolin, you know, Bart Campbell.
You're on the radio tonight, Giles.
But he's a good mandolin player. I bragged on him last night, shook his hand. I said, man, I said, you surprised me. I said, I thought you was just like me, could never learn nothing. He said, I don't know how I done it.
Oh, that's great.
But he did, though. He done great.
Well, Red Spurlock, we're gonna go another song here, and they're gonna go back in time now. This is an old 45 you recorded with Red Allen, and who else is on this?
Frank Wakefield. Well,
go ahead.
We titled it The Redheads.
The Redheads, that was what the name of the band was.
Yes, and Les Bodine played the bass with us.
In what year would this be?
There was 1960. That is the only recording that I ever did with Red and Frank.
And where did you record this?
At the King Studios in Cincinnati.
And this was a 45 you guys released.
A 45, yes. Uh-huh. And there was only 500 of them pressed. I got 100, Red got 100, and Frank got 100. And Les kept 200. And we don't know what happened to that, but
you don't have any of those 45s left?
No, all of mine got away.
Well, tell us how you come across the CD. You have this music with you.
Well, the man that wrote this book, Dennis Satterley, about Red Allen, he had one of them. And he made me that CD that you're fixing to play there now.
And he talked to you about Red, your experience with Red, to write this book that you're...
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I got to tell you this. He told me that, he said, I'll ask Frank about a story, and he'll tell it and twist it his way a little bit.
No doubt.
He said, I'll talk to Red, and Red will twist it his way a little bit. And then I'll talk to you, and you'll tell it. And after you tell it, then I know exactly how it happened.
Somehow I believe that.
But
now, of course, Red Allen's no longer with us.
Yeah.
But Frank's still playing. Do you see Frank?
Oh, yes, he's still playing.
Still playing.
Yeah. He called me during Mountain Days and told me he was in New York. And then I was just telling a friend of mine about what he said, and he kept laughing. And I said, what are you laughing for? He said, he wasn't in New York. I was sitting right beside him when he was talking to you. But
still Frank Wakefield.
Yeah.
And
the song you're fixing to play there.
Tell us about it.
Which one is it?
It's You'll Always Be Untrue.
Yeah. That song, how it came about... A young fiddle player out of Florida was at Frank's house, and he had heard Frank was a mandolin player, and he wrote that song. And Frank called me and wanted me to come over and play with him, and we was all on Frank's front steps playing that song, and You'll Always Be Untrue. And a fellow by the name of Gene Higgins walked by, and he had a portable tape recorder, and he taped it. Well, come to find out, the boy hadn't recorded it yet and hadn't copyrighted it, so Gene naturally had it copyrighted as his song.
Okay.
Now, he had nothing to do with writing it whatsoever. When we went down to cut it, we couldn't remember the last verse. So So I went out on the rock wall outside the studio and wrote the second verse. Now, when we got it done, the man that recorded it said, "Now, we can't release this until you get the authorization from the writer of the song," so meaning Eugene Higgins. He worked at Sunshine Biscuit. So me and Frank was sitting in the car with our fingers crossed to hoping he would sign this release, because without that, we couldn't release it. And Red said, "I'll go in and get it." So Red went in, came back with $80 for sheet music. There was no such thing as sheet music, but he had told Gene, "You give me half of that song, and we'll record it." Didn't tell him we'd already recorded it, you see. So as far as everything was on the books, that Red and Gene Higgins wrote that song. Neither one of them had anything to do with it.
Oh, gee.
So when I recorded it, then, in fact, the last time we were on this radio station with Red, and just before he died, Steve Allen said, "You wrote this song, didn't you, Red?" "Well, yes." And I said, "Now, fellas, it went far enough. The truth is, I was the one wrote that last verse, and a kid from Florida wrote the first verse, and nobody else had anything to do with that." And Red said, "I thought I wrote that." I said, "No, you didn't." But this is the story about that song.
And tell us who's singing. Is there a trio on this, or
Frank singing lead, Red singing tenor, I'm singing the baritone.
And are you playing banjo on
I'm
this?
Playing the banjo. Wow. Frank's on the mandolin, Red's on the guitar.
You'll always be on true. Is this 1959?
1960. Yeah.
Let's hear it. 1960, Red Allen, Frank Wakefield, Red Spurlock. You'll always be untrue. I tell you what, Red Spurlock, that was such good music. You'll always be untrue. Let's play the flip side of that cut,
yes.
That Love and Wealth. You want to just set that? Is this an instrumental or?
No, it's a trio.
A trio as well.
Yes.
So 1960. Just a Red Allen, Frank Wakefield, and Red Spurlock.
Yes.
Let's hear it. Love and Wealth.
Yeah.
gosh, that's some banjo playing. That's Noah Crace.
Yes, it is.
From way back when. I'll have to look up a date on that. That's back in Red Spurlock Day.
Yeah.
And right before that, another notable Dayton area mandolin player by the name of Dorsey Harvey doing the Bill Monroe Bluegrass Stomp. You're listening to the Midnight Ramble here on WYSO. Giles Bullen in the studio with me, as well as Red Spurlock. We're talking about some of the old-time bluegrass days in Dayton, Ohio. Red Spurlock, I'm going to direct your attention, because we don't have to do this in chronological order, but we left you 11 years old down in Breathitt County.
Okay.
And then you went up to Indiana, in sort of in the hills down there.
Yes.
But you also, you said you were a DJ in the service when you were telling me that, down in Panama, I think.
No. When I went in the service, I enlisted in 1948. And in 1949, they shipped me down to Panama Canal Zone. And just before I left the States, Hank Snow had come out with a song called Moving On. And I learned it before I went to Panama. And when I got down there, I ran across two guitar players, Uncle Duke Hall and Byron Oney, and a bass man. Now, that's the first bass player I ever had in the band. We called ourselves Red Spurlock and the Rainbow Ramblers back then.
And you've kept that band name
the whole time? Yes. Every time I got on my own where I had to be the boss, why, had to be. I never did. I'd rather be a side man any time. But anyhow, we got on AFRS radio station, and I started singing that song. And the cards and letters just piled in, and that radio program lasted 27 months until I left Panama. But Hank Snow's version worked its way down there in about 3 months after I was there. And everybody said, hey, listen, Hank Snow's doing Red's song.
Now, when you were DJing down there, what kind of music would you play?
No, I wasn't DJing.
Oh, no, I missed this whole story then. Tell me about this. You were just playing music.
Yes.
You're on the radio down there.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry about that. So
yeah, it was a 30-minute show every 30 Saturday.
I see. Yeah. And this was the morning or in the night?
No, it was in the afternoon on Saturday.
Okay.
Prime time in the afternoon where all the soldiers could hear. And incidentally, I was the only banjo player in the Panama Canal Zone in 1949 and 50 and most of 51. See, I only enlisted for 2 years, but when that war broke out in Korea.
It makes a difference, doesn't it?
Truman extended everybody.
They decided differently about it.
Yeah.
So you play stuff like Moving On. What else would you play on stage down there?
Oh, everything that Grandpa Jones did and Mac Wiseman and all those people that was real hot back then, you know. All of Monroe stuff, you know. Anything that was bluegrass. And not only that, but we played a bar called the Pan American Bar right downtown Panama City. And believe it or not, there was a little shoeshine boy. We always had a full crowd there, soldiers mostly, and there was a little shoeshine boy that set his little
stand up there
by the door, and guess what his name was? Noriega.
Oh, was that right?
Yes.
And you think it was the same fellow?
It was the same little fellow because I remembered because they called him... Pineapple Face? Because of all the scars?
Yeah, right.
I remember all the scars Acme, you know, when he was a young...
That's right.
But he was a shoeshine.
Well. Well, okay, Red Spurlock, you came up to Dayton, Ohio after you got out of the service.
Yes.
And tell me, we talked a little bit about your experience here playing music live in the bars in Dayton with Red Allen and Frank Wakefield. And was there bluegrass music... came through the area with people like Bill Monroe and Flat and Scruggs tour through Dayton, Ohio?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. The guy that was Dolly Parton so long, what was his
Porter
name?
Wagner.
Porter Wagner, yeah.
They'd come through?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the first time I met Hank Snow.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hi. And that was it, you know. I still like his music, but...
I thought maybe he asked you, how come...
I was doing his song.
No, everybody down in Panama thought Red Spurlock was moving on.
Where did they play when they came into town?
They was playing that big hall downtown. What do they call it? Memorial Hall.
Memorial Hall.
Yeah.
And they, would they fill that, the bluegrass musicians?
Oh, uh-huh. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Hank Snow was real hot back then, and so was Porter, you know.
Sure. And so people like Tubb would come through, Ernest Tubb?
Oh, yes.
But the bluegrass musicians would as well. Like Randall, was Monroe on the Opry at that time?
Oh, yes. Monroe. I think Monroe went on the Opry in 1926.
Well, not that early, but yeah, he was on through all the 40s, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then Flat and Scruggs, they were on the Opry, too.
Sure.
And they came through Dayton, Ohio?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, oh, yes, yes.
Now,
yes, indeed.
You mentioned WONE playing bluegrass music.
Yes.
Now, wasn't there a live show down in Middletown? Wasn't there a sort of a tent
WPFB.
Show down at WPFB?
Absolutely. We used to
Tell
go down there.
That.
Me and Red and Johnny McKee has played WPFB Middletown live. Absolutely.
Now, was that a weekend gig, or what did they do down there?
Yeah, it's just the weekend. I did know the disc jockey's name, but I can't remember what it was now.
Was that Woolham? Was that a Woolham?
No.
No? Okay. I don't know my history. I have to get Fred Bartenstein up here. He knows all that
there's
stuff.
There's another place there called Chautauqua Park there. They had a lot of stars come through there back in the 60s.
Yeah.
Did you play that, Red Spurlock?
No. I never played that.
Now, was there a time in your life where music sort of took a back seat that you put it up for a while, or have you played all since 19, well, since you were six, you said you learned to play
banjo? When Red left and Frank left, I didn't play with anybody there until I joined up with the Brock brothers, Carlos and Lonnie Brock. And we stayed together 5 years. And then after then.
And what years would that have been?
That was 1960, 61, 62, 63, and 64. We stayed together that
long. And you were playing clubs there during that with that band? Or?
Yes, and on Saturday night we played a place called Willie's Supermarket over on over in Right View on Kaufman Avenue on a flatbed truck every Saturday night. We played that for 3 summers in a row, and it was so popular that Sheriff Bradley had to send deputies over to control the traffic. They would actually stop over on Route 4 across the tracks, and the cops would have to make them keep moving. But, Willie was paying us, and they would have to actually sweep up the candy wrappers and so forth off of the parking lot after we got through, and we would just, you know, it was right in the heart of Kentucky, Little Kentucky over there. And the only reason we quit, the state came along and told Willie, if you have entertainment, you have to charge, you have to pay 10% of everything you sell for entertainment taxes. And Willie said, well, there's only 13% profit in the grocery business. I can't give the government or the state 10%. So he quit. That's why we quit.
And this time, I understand you're very popular, and you draw a lot of crowd. And you got rich during those years, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Sure we did. Yeah, I was feeding all my kids with that glass shop at the same time.
You sort of have to love the music. This is a labor of love, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, after me and Red and Frank spent the 18 months at Little Mickey's, Red wanted to move on to bigger things. So he went and got Noe Crace and some other musicians. I forget who they was. But he moved across the street at the, what bar was that across the street from Little Mickey's? Fred Rose owned it. There was the Ring and the Swing and the...
Lays and Stomp in the bottom.
Well, anyhow, he went over there. That left me and Frank by ourselves at Little Mickey's without a bass man. Frank was the lead singer, and I was a baritone singer. Well, who was going to sing the tenor, see? As luck would have it, a bus pulled up, a Greyhound bus, and who gets off of it but Jerry Sullivan from Alabama. And Little Mickey's brother owned a photo studio, and he'd taken a picture of me and put it in the window. And it said guitar player wanted. And Jerry said he looked and saw the fifth string on that banjo, and he did a double take, and he said, "That's bluegrass." So he went in, and they gave him my number, and we didn't miss one day's work. Me and Jerry and Frank formed a band, and that's when we picked the name Red Spurlock and the Rainbow Ramblers up again. And after so long, we thought, Jerry said, "Hey, let's go to Alabama. I know there's hot spots down there, and we can really make a killing down there." And we did. We went with him. I had a 1951 Cadillac Fleetwood, and every cop in town used to stop me and say, "Hey, young man, whose car are you driving?" But we went to Pritchard, Alabama, and got on the radio. The disc jockey was Jack Cardwell. He's passed away now. And it was an early morning show from 5:30 to 6 o'clock every morning. And, I mean, we was getting as popular in Pritchard, Alabama as we was in Dayton, Ohio, you see. And actually, people had saw Bill Monroe from a distance, but they had never seen banjo players or mandolin players up close. And we would go in those clubs, and those people would actually climb on the tables just to watch our fingers move on those instruments. And we played for, I don't know, 6 months or something. And Frank said, "Hey, we got to change the name of this band." I said, "Well, what do you suggest we change it to?" He said, "We're going to change it to Frank Wakefield and the Rainbow Ramblers." I said, "Well, okay, you've got to do the MC work then." "Oh, no, you've got to do the talking." I said, "Well, I'm not going to get up there and say, 'This is Frank Wakefield, and I'm Red Spurlock, and this is Frank.'" So we busted up, and we came back to Dayton.
I understand. Now, what did you do with your glass shop during those months?
Oh, that was before the glass shop.
Before the glass
shop. That was 1953.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is you're awful early in these years.
Oh, yes.
Red Spurlock, we have Red Allen and Frank Wakefield queued up here on Talk to My Heart.
Yes.
You know that song.
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
So we'll play that one. Let's come back and talk with them.
Right. Then let me come in and talk to your heart. Come in and talk to your heart.
your heart will say. If it's told that it's right that we stay apart, then let me come in and talk to your heart. When you're long at night with the world locked outside, have a talk to your heart about me. If you tell that it's right that we stay apart, then let me come in and talk to your heart.
I'm walking the floor with tears in my eyes. I can't understand, dear, why you ever lie. The stars in the skies have tumbled below. Now my heart is breaking, it's beating so low. The moment you walk dear into my heart, what a wonderful meeting for two lonely hearts. You gave me your love to have and to hold, but something has happened, you took the wrong road. Said you would love and you would obey, but the golden rule's broken, so go on your way. I've lost all the faith that I've had in you, so go on away, dear, you can never be true. The moment you walk dear into my heart, what a wonderful meeting for two lonely hearts. You gave me your love to have and to hold, but something has happened, you took the wrong road.
Two Lonely Hearts, the Osborne Brothers, Red Spurlock.
Yeah, I got to tell you about that. You know, that's a great recording that they did there. But the one I liked, my favorite, was one that Red cut with Noe Crace. And Crace did some fantastic banjo work on that. And one run that he did on it, I asked him one time, I said, Noe, how'd you do that? He said, I really don't know. He said, I had to learn how I did that after I heard it, you know. But when the people that wrote that song, I doubt very much if they ever got credit for it. Because they lived in Springfield, Ohio. The only thing I remember about them is their name was Sloan. Their last name was Sloan. It was a man and his wife. They called Red and said, we have written a song and we want you to come up and listen to it. Red stopped and picked me up and I went up. And we sat there and they played it for us. And Red said, that's a great song. That's when he recorded it with Noe Crace. And That was a great, great song. But I often wondered if those people ever got credit or royalties off of that song. Because, like I say, the only thing I remember is their name was Sloan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether they had it copyrighted or what, but a lot of people has cut it since then.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Osbournes, Bobby and Sonny, you knew them as very young men.
Oh, yes.
And you were saying before you used to travel over to Wheeling, West Virginia.
Yeah.
When the classic band of the Osbournes and Red Allen,
uh-huh.
they were doing some just some real fireworks and vocal stuff
Absolutely.
Over there.
Yes.
Yeah. And did Sonny and Bobby, they played in the Dayton area as well. Did you play with them or was that
no,
always?
I never played with them, mm-hmm. but we was always good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I never forget, on the way up there, we was so hepped up. We would laugh so much. We went in a restaurant one time, this one, and we was hungry, too. And me and Sonny sat down, the four of us, and me and Sonny just kept laughing. And we could not order our food. Finally, Bobby and Red ordered. Me and Sonny got up and went out in the car. We couldn't even stop laughing long enough to give the lady our order. That's how much fun we had traveling together, you know, back then.
Okay, Giles Bolan, we have a song you requested up here by Joyce and Red Spurlock. What song is that?
Well, you introduced this for us.
Well, it's, you know, Joyce and Red, they're good friends of mine, and Joyce does a lot of good singing, but this is a real good song. It's one I think me and you talked about a while ago, Stephen Foster wrote.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's Hard Times, and I know there's a lot of people that's out there, like me, has went through a few of them, and I'm going through a few right now. But it's a great song, and I love the way she does it.
I do, too. Let's hear Joyce Spurlock. Okay. Red Spurlock, a sort of a sentimental song you wrote. Tell us about that song.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt about my dad. When President Kennedy was assassinated, I was building a house up there in Enon, and I was listening to the radio or watching the television, and I was thinking, what makes a man a great man? And the only word I could come up with was situation, because President Kennedy was a great man because he was president. But he wasn't as great a man, in my opinion, as my dad was. But my dad was never known. So the situation was, he was a farmer that plowed on a field, and he had one leg shorter than the other, and he used to tell people, that's from plowing a mule on a hillside. You know?
Right.
But I never, never, ever heard the man take the Lord's name in vain. He taught Sunday school, and my grandpa was the preacher, and my dad was taught Sunday school in church. He lived a perfect life, in my opinion, and he was the greatest man, only he wasn't known.
Well, you'll be pleased to know, perhaps, that I was listening to that song last week, and it struck me the sort of the same type of thoughts, of course, the reason you wrote it. You know, we deal with a lot of, sometimes we get envious about famous people.
Mm-hmm.
We think, why aren't I famous, you know?
Right.
And then we think someone like the President of the United States, they're great people, you know, and they do great things.
Because they're the president.
Yeah, but on the other hand, sometimes it takes some not so great things to get there.
Right.
And the people who work every day are just as admirable and just as strong. And just as famous.
And they're unknown.
Absolutely.
And
they're the ones that keep the world going, you
yes.
know. And there's a ton of us, you know. I mean, there's our dads. Think of our dads, for heaven's sakes.
Yes.
How strong of character they are. And that's what makes the world go round. isn't it? It's not just the presidents. It's not just the certainly not the movie stars.
That's right.
It's the dads of the world.
That's right. The dads of the world.
And that's something to be admired. So I'm glad you wrote that song. I'm glad to know about your dad.
Right.
And we saying he moved up to Dayton area here. Your mom and your dad did.
Yes.
And lived their rest of their life here.
Yes, they did. Yeah. And my dad died when he was only 55 years old. With
that's
a heart
way
attack.
Too young.
You see,
way too young.
But you see, back then, in 1960, they wouldn't open heart surgery like there is today. And my mother supported herself for another 30 years. No, another. Well, let's see. She died in 18. Yeah, 30 years. Mm-hmm. By taking in dry cleaning and sewing for the dry cleaners. Altering clothes and so forth, making draperies and so forth.
Wow.
She supported herself until
yeah,
she died.
There's another strong woman, isn't it? My heavens.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Rhett Spurlock, I have a friend of yours on a record back here. We'll get back to some music. This is Frank Wakefield with his most famous cut, or at least his most famous tune that he wrote. This is called The New Camp Town Races. This is the first time he recorded that. He was up in Detroit at the time, so I'm not sure what years this is either, but this would be in the years you knew him in the early 50s.
Yes,
huh?
Yes, indeed.
Did you play that tune with him?
Yes, I played that tune with him.
Right. New sure Camp Town Races. Let's hear Frank Wakefield.
Sweet mama, daddy's got them deep Ellen. When you go down in Deep Island, put your money in your socks. Old Deep Island women, they will throw you on the rocks. Oh, sweet mama, daddy's got them Deep Island blues. Oh, sweet mama, daddy's got them Deep Island blues.
life's hard race I run. I ain't never made no money, ain't never had no bond. When I leave this here old world, I know where I am bound to go.
Can't win, can't play, can't show.
Can't win,
can't win.
Got me shoved against the rail. Can't play,
can't play.
Trying hard, but bound to fail. Can't show,
can't show.
Hard looks with me that I know.
Can't win, can't play, can't show.
Start made me stumble. All my friends, they took the lead. It has caused my dreams to tumble. My hopes have gone to seed. It's no use to bet on me, cause I won't finish in the dough.
Can't win, can't play, can't show.
Can't win,
can't win.
Got me shoved against the rail. Can't play,
can't play.
Trying hard but bound to fail. Can't show,
can't show.
Hard luck's with me that I know.
Can't win, can't play, can't show.
Starting gates, they opened wide, and they left me with a stride. I can see the horses running, they've left me far behind. But the faster I go, the more sorrow I know.
Can't win, can't place, can't show.
Can't win,
can't win.
Got me shoved against the rail. Can't play,
can't play.
Trying hard but bound to fail. Can't show,
can't show.
Hard luck's with me that I know.
Can't win, can't place, can't show. Can't win, can't place, can't show.
Can't win, can't play, can't show. That's Red Spurlock, Red and Joyce, off of a CD that they recorded about 10 years ago now. Name of that CD is Ode to Bluegrass, another song that Red wrote. You're listening to the Midnight Ramble here on WYSO. I guess I should tell you that you're listening to member-supported 91.3 WYSO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, broadcasting in HD and online at WYSO.org. WYSO is a broadcast service of Antioch University for the Miami Valley. WYSO is supported by listeners like you in the Greene County Public Library, supplying federal and state income tax forms at all its locations, as well as tax preparation assistance at the Xenia Community Library on Market Street in Xenia. That's now through April 14th. Schedule and information are available online at greenlibrary.info. Red Spurlock in the studio with us tonight, 11:17. We're just burning up through the time here, Giles Bullen, as you said. We're having a good time, just a conversation. Red Spurlock, we heard, I don't know if you can recall this, we heard a great Red Allen, and was the Osborne Brothers on that cut with Red that I said was such a good cut? And I've lost track of what that was. But we'll,
no, Down Where the River Bends.
No, Down Where the River Bends, yes. Uh-huh.
No, the Osborne Brothers.
But that was, Red was in good voice. Oh, that was with David Grisman. I forgot that was that band. But he was in good voice. He could sing the blues, I tell you what, Red Allen could.
Yeah.
And then we heard this young man, Evan Lanier.
Yeah.
And but it's been about 2 hours since we played him. Tell us about Evan Lanier again.
Evan Lanier can pick up anything. I'll tell you what Bob Hamlin said about him. He said he had to be a great musician in a previous life because nobody could learn all of that in one lifetime.
This young man is 12 years old.
12 years old.
And we heard him play the Sweet Sunny South.
Sweet Sunny South.
And he was doing much of the instrumental work on there?
Oh, all of it.
All of it.
Yeah, I don't dare take a break on one where he played so good. I don't even try. I just let him do it. My job is to push that boy. And that's exactly.
And it's working.
Oh, I get requests all the time to do my songs, but, you know, it's an Evan Lanier show.
Oh, wonderful. And this is a recording you just made, is that correct?
Yes, just a couple of weeks ago.
And after Evan, we heard your Can't Win, Can't Place, Can't Show, and Red Spurlock, I know that song from an old cowboy singer by the name of Elton Britt. Now tell me, what's the connection between bluegrass, Red Spurlock, and this old cowboy singer, Elton Britt? Tell me that.
Well, when I left Camp Breckenridge, Kentucky, where I took my basic training, they sent me to Fort Belvoir, Virginia, and I was in the fire department. And they used to come over and bring his guitar and sit, and we would sit there right in front of the fire department and play together.
Is that, and he was in the service at the time? Is this Elton Britt?
Well, I don't know whether he was in the service or not, because he always had civilian clothes on when he came over there.
I see. But he lived close by or lived on base or somewhere like that.
Yes, yes.
And you got to know the man.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And he had a respectable hit on that.
Sure he did.
And you wrote at least the last verse on
that. Last verse, yes.
You're a man of many talents, Red Spurlock. I'm astonished about the connection between Elton Britt and I was talking to Joe Colvin 2 weeks ago, and I said, well, I'll have to ask him about that, because why is his name on there? I couldn't figure that out.
Yeah, well, when we started to record it, I couldn't remember what that last verse was.
So you made up another one?
Yes,
okay.
That's right.
And I asked you before, I'm always interested in musicians. I'm interested in, of course, their music, but the next question I asked is, are they a nice guy? And what do you think of Elton Britt? Was he a nice man?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
And
yeah, like I say, he would twist his mouth when he would sing.
And you were 18 at the time.
Yes.
Just off the farm down there.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Red Spurlock, we're going to go back in time again here. Now, this is an instrumental you wrote, Spurlock Phones.
Yeah.
And this is off of a 45 you released. Tell us about... Who's on this record with you?
The Powell Brothers. Yeah, that was in the middle 60s. The same time we cut Loneliness, wasn't it? Yeah. Actually, I had worked that tune up, and I had chimed it like a telephone ringing, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I didn't want to use the word... phones like the phone company does, because I figured that would infringe on their copyright, you know, for the word phones. So I made up this F-O-N-E-S, which is not in the dictionary at all. When I actually recorded it, we had a fiddle player, the crippled fiddle player. What was his name? You remember him? Bob something. He fiddled like this, you know. But anyhow, Bob Dooley. Yes,
Bob
we was rehearsing it, and I was trying to tell him how it went, you know. And he said, "Well, here you fiddle it." I said, "Well, I would if I could, but I can't fiddle it, you know." So he got mad and he walked out. That's why there's nothing on it but a mandolin and a banjo now. But that phone ringing thing I couldn't do. So we just made a stab at it anyhow.
All right.
But RCA Victor pressed it up in Chicago. We hand carried it up there. Me and Ivan Freeman, the man that ran for mayor in Dayton, and this lady sat there and typed this word phones out several times, and not once did she ask me what it meant at all. But they gave me the master, and or they sent it to me and wanted me to okay it and send it back. And I got to know her so well, she let me keep it. And then Harley Allen wanted to borrow it, and that's the last time I saw of it. Every time I was asking for it, he said, "Oh, I've got it somewhere. I'm not sure where it's at."
Well, we'll have to get on them about that.
Yeah, but it's a big 78 RPM.
Spurlock phones.
Master of Spurlock phones.
Red Spurlock, we'll get this on in just a minute. I'll play that music. But you're playing banjo on here.
Yes.
And you've spent most of your career as a banjo player, but you play other instruments, don't you?
Dobro and a bass, yeah.
You play the bass and the dobro, and I've seen you on guitar a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and the dobro's pretty respectable, isn't it? You can play that thing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. You listeners probably don't. We started the show out with Red doing an old dobro instrumental called Dobro Chimes. Very respectable cut.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back in time though. The late mid to late 1960s with the Powell Brothers, Red Spurlock, an instrumental called Spurlock Phones.
Now here's one the prettiest woman in the world is going to sing, and I'm going to try to sing tenor to her. Low tenor, that is, Joyce Spurlock singing Deepening Snow.
It's snowing out there in the garden. I sat here and watched it all night. The kids will be thrilled when they wake up and look at the snow deep and white. But the snow makes me think of my darling, 'cause he hated the snow and the cold. Now he lies in a grave down in Knoxville with a headstone that's just 1 year old.
Won't you please make the winter go quick, Lord? So the flowers around him will grow. I can't stand the thought of my darling lying there in the deepening snow.
Little Jimmy climbed up on my knee now, saying, Mommy, what causes the snow? And I tell him of a wonderful father who lived on this earth here below. Then I hold him so close and I kiss him, and he kissing back doesn't know that his kiss was meant for his daddy lying there in the deepening snow.
Won't you please make the winter go quick, Lord, so the flowers around him will grow. I can't stand the thought of my darling lying there snow, lying there in the deepening snow.
Down the highway of sorrow, I'm traveling along. I've lost all my true. I've lost a happy home. I'm headed for destruction. I'm on the wrong track. Down the highway of sorrow, there's no turning back. I once had a darling wife, kind, true, and sweet. Life was so bright and gay, everything complete. I fell for another who led my life astray.
She was hurt so deeply she could not forgive. Now living in sorrow as long as I live. Down the highway of sorrow I'm traveling alone. I've lost all my true friends. I've lost a happy home. I'm headed for destruction. I'm on the wrong track. Down the highway of sorrow there's no turning back. Down the highway of sorrow I'm traveling alone. I've lost all my true friends. I've lost a happy home. I'm headed for destruction. I'm on the wrong track. Down the highway of sorrow there's no turning back.
Ruby, are you mad at your man? Red Spurlock, that's when Red Allen and the Sonny and Bobby Osborne were singing together over in Wheeling, West Virginia. They recorded that, and we heard them do She's No Angel. That's just there's some tough music that they were singing there. Now they sort of came up with that high tenor lead,
yes,
with two
right.
voices underneath of them,
high lead,
and a lot of energy in that.
Yeah.
Now, do you know? I don't know if you would remember the old Kentucky banjo player by the name of Cousin Emma used to do that song. That was her song. Do you ever heard of her?
Your Cousin Emmy?
Yeah.
Oh, uh-huh. Sure. Uh-huh. Banjo player.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was struck by, and Bobby clearly says it. I mean, he does it just like she used to on the radio when she played down there. And
yeah, you know, that's one during the war where the government put her on the list of undesirable people that was spies or something, you know.
No, I did not know that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Cousin Emmy was one of them. I mean, they had a lot of people on that was innocent as could be.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But the government was like they did the Japanese people,
uh-huh.
You know.
Put well, them in I'll have to look into that. That's new to me. So
yes,
you learn
sir.
Something every day.
Yeah, Cousin Emmy was one of them.
Well, but the Osbournes did, of course, that was one of their big hits, Ruby, Are You Mad at Your Man?
Yeah.
And we have queued up a Red Allen cut that you requested.
Yeah.
What's
Hello City Limits.
Hello City Limits. And I should just tell the audience, I guess, it's been a while since we reminded them it's 11:39 on this Saturday night. We're winding down. You can tell we're starting to show the lateness of the hour up here, but... Well, this is the Midnight Ramble Show. My name's Tom Duffy. I'm very pleased that you tuned in tonight. I hope you had a good time. We have about 20 more minutes to go until the Midnight Special comes on at midnight. Special guest in the studio tonight is Mr. Giles Bolin from the OKI Bluegrass Association and Mr. Red Spurlock from many, many years of bluegrass performance here in the Dayton area, Miami Valley. All the folks we've played tonight, either we're playing his music or playing music that he's played many times with the folks that we're all recording, so including this Red Allen cut. You're saying that, did he write this song?
Yeah.
And and you were saying that no one's really been able to touch him as they do it.
No, nobody has ever re-recorded that song since, and I think it's because nobody could do the quality that Red put into that song.
Maybe Red Spurlock should wish to do it.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I think he could work on Chris Montgomery.
Chris could. He's
close.
Yeah, and Danny Davis could too.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, you're on. The challenge is on, Chris, if you're listening. So let's hear Red do it, and then we'll get Chris to do it as
right.
Troubles and heartaches there too. Hello city limits, I'm starting out brand new.
Hello city limits, I need a change of scenery. I need hit real bad to help me forget all the troubles I've had. I've got a feeling I'll find a love that's new. Hello, city limits. I'm starting out brand new. Hello, city limits. I see your sign. Left all my worries way behind. Left all my troubles and heartaches there too. Hello, city limits. I'm starting out brand new. I haven't told a soul just where I'll be, for I don't want the blues to catch up with me. I may decide to change my name too. Hello, city limits, I'm starting out brand new. Hello, city limits, I see your sign. Left all my worries way behind. Left all my troubles and heartaches there too. Hello, city limits, I'm starting out brand new.
This is Red Spurlock. I have been asked by my kids and my grandkids to do this album of songs I used to sing to them when they was growing up. And me and my wife is going to attempt to satisfy them with these songs. And this first one I would like to dedicate to my wife and also to Jack and Hazel Williams, our engineers today. And when I called Jack earlier, I sang this song when they first got married at their wedding when they was young people. But when I called Jack today, yesterday I called him, and I said, when's a good time to come over? He said, any time, just so long as you come after breakfast and leave before dinner. So this one, time is a wasting, so we better get on with the music. Here is the first one entitled With This Ring I Thee Wed.
With this ring I thee wed, an angel here beside me, just a moment more and heaven will be mine. With this ring I thee wed, as every dream inside me comes true each time I hear the church bells chime. This little band of gold I hold will soon be on your finger. A kiss, a vow, a moment so divine. With this ring I thee wed, I bow, I love you truly, and every day you'll hear me say I do. With our hearts tied as one, we leave the church together, together as we know we'll always be. In a life just begun, this day like blossoms in a treasured memory. Your big bouquet may fade away, but as the years go by, dear, I'll take your hand and say each day I knew. With this ring I thee wed, and now you're mine forever to have and hold until the end of time.
were just playing a game. I told them all we were meant for each other. I thought our worlds were the same. We live in two different worlds, dear. That's why we're so far apart. Someday when your memories wander, won't you come over in mine? We live in two different worlds, dear. That's why we're so far apart. You made a world out of vows that were broken. I built a world in my heart.
These lips shall never more place a kiss upon thy brow. When life holds still in death, will you love me then as now? Will you miss me?
Noel Boland doing the lead singing on the old Carter Family Stanley Brothers classic, Will You Miss Me When I'm Gone, off a CD of the young Evan Lanier, 12 years old. Red Spurlock doing the baritone on that. I'd like to thank Red Spurlock and Giles Boland for coming up tonight, spending the night with us and reminiscing about some of the greats and bluegrass in the Miami Valley area. Been featuring Red Spurlock's music all night long. If not the actual cuts he's been on, then the folks he's played with throughout his long career, including young Evan Lanier. We just heard before that, we heard Red tell about the love of his life with Joyce and with this ring, I Thee Wed. It's Bill Wells up here saying a good Valentine's Day song. We'll dedicate that out. We also heard Red Spurlock doing a banjo instrumental, Plunkin' Rag, from a 10-year-old CD of his. And we started that set out with Red Allen with one of Red Spurlock's favorite cuts, Hello City Limits. Remind you that you're listening to member-supported 91.3 WYSO Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, broadcasting in HD and online at wyso.org. WYSO is a broadcast service of Antioch University for the Miami Valley.